before we go here, I just got a couple of announcements, man. Okay, man. Next week, Pasadena Ice House sold out, man. Sold out. There ain't no more tickets, man. Sorry. Sold out, people. That's what happened when you book me later on in life. November, Pleasanton Tommy T's. I'll be there with Mando. Armando Cusillo, our guest, man. I'll be at Tommy T's.
Yeah, I'll be hanging out with you.
Yeah, man. In our Central California, Hauteville, California. At Barbara Worth Resort, I'll be there with both Rodrigo Torres and Armando Cosillo. And later on, after the show, I'll be going to the Raider game. These guys will be going home. And Fort Myers in Florida at Off the Hook Comedy Club. It'll be in November also. So what's up, fool? What's up, Rodrigo, happening? Man?
Chilling right here in Glendale, dog.
We just got back from San Antonio.
Hell yeah, dude. It was tight, fool.
Did you have fun over there?
Yeah, man. Lots of fun, man. Just stop by to say hello, man.
Well, let's introduce our guest, man, so you can just join us. We have Pops over here, Armando Cosillo Jr.
Yeah, what's up, fool?
You guys know this fool, man. We go way back, huh, fool?
Yeah, you got it, bro. We go so far back, my girlfriend left me.
Oh, damn.
She wasn't wearing a seatbelt. All right.
All right, that's Pops, man.
His first closer, eh?
His first closer, man. You ever watch Que Loco? That fool was on it, man. Or Local Comedy Jam. Local Comedy Jam, man. This guy got a flip of a coin, and he won. And we have OG right here, man, my old pal.
What's
I know up? This guy since, man, when I had short hair.
Said old
go back. This guy goes way back, man. Armando Cosillo.
You were in a baseball cap when
yeah,
you
man.
Mentioned, man.
That was in my Abercrombie and Fitch days. We have Armando Cosillo right here, man. All the way from Elysian Valley, from Frogtown. Not the gang, just the neighborhood. And we have Rodrigo Torres right here, yeah. Man. So you guys don't know this, man. A lot of you guys have been asked. Asking, man, I've seen your guys' comments. What's the origin of Rodrigo Torres?
The origin?
Where did the food come from? Where that crazy laugh? So we're not going to get to that yet, man, but we're going to tell you where he's from right now. Yep. Currently, you know, like, if you guys know Rodrigo Torres' material, man, this fool kills roaches by day, man. He's an exterminator and... Well, introduce the people you're with, bro.
Right here, the main crew, man. Right here, I met Mando in 2001 through Felipe.
Yeah, man. But
before I met you, I seen you on stage. You're a wild coyote that's called Tortillas. And Felipe gave you the light after like 3 or 4 minutes, and you're on stage going, este vato.
Yeah, so,
I remember those lights. They weren't even lights. They were coffee cans with cement and a cable hanging down and painted with fluorescent color, like fluorescent green and pink or whatever. And all these biker dudes there just looking at us like, I didn't even know they were bikers. They didn't have bike. They all came in a van. And they all got out there.
So you were wearing the flaco hat.
Yeah, man. We're here with that La Cucaracha. They're trying to get rid of Ebola in Glendale.
And you're wearing shorts. Y te estoy viendo las Ebolas, cabrón.
It already started, dog. Yeah, man.
We don't have no sponsors, so it ain't gonna take that long. Unless you want to be a sponsor, bro. We'll sponsor La Cucaracha right here,
no
bro.
No commercials, eh?
No commercials yet, no ads. Just every once in a while, man, somebody gives us a t-shirt and they want to plug. I say, yeah, man, thanks for that t-shirt, bro. I gave it to my uncle. People always give you, sometimes they give you whack-ass t-shirts, man. You want to take them and go, okay, thank you, man. That's good.
It'd be better if people gave socks off.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man, I just decorated your couch. I smoked cupcakes all over it.
So, right, bro, we got a dust devil here somewhere. Yeah, so Rodrigo and Armando Cosillo and Pop, they all work together, man, exterminating business. And they also perform in the evening. They do a lot of comedy shows. Rodrigo's an actor. Pops, you've been acting, right?
Yeah, I did a couple of shows, a couple of movies. I was in that Heartbreak Kid, an extra.
Oh, yeah? The one with...
Running from the immigration.
Oh.
I can't run, so I just walked away.
You crawled away, bro.
Yeah.
My homie the crab.
So
you didn't make the credits because they exploded.
Nah.
You exploded?
Yeah. Well, no, I just walked off camera.
You walked off camera, bro. We got to get you on Pornhub, dog.
Yeah. I'll shoot off camera.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. So, Rodrigo, Armando Cosillo, how did you get started in stand-up comedy? Let the people know, bro.
Well, you know what?
When you first got started.
The first time I got started was back in 93. And it was a friend of mine, Emilio Rivera.
What's up, homes?
From Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy is Alvarez, I guess. You guys see him all over the place. You see Emilio, you'll know him.
Yeah, man. But, to be my neighbor, bro.
And Emilio was there from the. We lived in the same neighborhood, man. You and I. Also.
If you guys don't know who Armando is, you guys gotta hear that story on the Champs with Neil Brennan and Moshe Kasher, and it's on the episode 2. And this is the guy that said he saw me river dancing.
Yes, where's Felipe? He's river dancing. Felipe was going through some trying times back then. Man, I remember that Montero, man. That thing was a bulldozer. He thought he was in one of those figure eight races, just ramming the hell out of some car one time. I think I killed her.
I killed two people, dog.
Yeah. So anyway, Emilio Rivera, He grew up with my brother, so we live in the same.
Your older brother?
My younger brother. Yeah, Emilio's about 50. I'm about 58 now.
Damn. Yeah. I remember when you turned 40.
You remember? I just started doing comedy when I was 30.
Yeah.
You know?
Looking good.
Yeah, well, you know. Black don't crack. I found out I was part black now.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's funny because my sister went to Mexico, saw a photo of my grandfather. And we never met our grandfather, right? So she sees this phone, she comes back, and she wants to tell me that we're black. So she goes, I saw a picture of our grandpa. He's a nigger.
Yeah.
What? He's a nigger. What do you mean he's a nigger?
He looks like Obama.
Yeah, so he's dark?
No, I looked at the photo. I go, sis, this is a black and white photo. This is how they used to take photos back in the day, was black and white. He's not black. It's just black and white. No, he looked like a Mexican. He was in a baseball uniform that said Mexico, and he was a ball player. So, I don't know. They say his parents were descended from Africa somewhere. So, who knows, you know.
That's funny you say that because I have an uncle named Eugenio, and he's black. Like, his nose, he has African features. Mm-hmm. And then we know where he come from. You know, his wife is light-skinned black. And I always wonder, man, did like a slave ship crash in Mexico?
Oh, there was a lot of slavery in Mexico.
No, but I read that where they were at.
But they let them go.
They let them go, right? Because I know in some part of Mexico, they do have like a little African town where most of the streets are African.
In Acapulco, yeah. No?
Well, I don't know about Acapulco, but I know...
there's pockets of them.
Yeah, there's pockets. There was one slave ship that actually they got it crashed in the earth. These people... got away from the slave ship and started their own little colony in
near Veracruz,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And I guess they still have their customs and cultures there, and they kind of kept their own little, you know, they were all Africans in a new country, and you know, you could hear the jungle, you could just hear. But
a lot of brothers tap dancing.
Yeah. But. Yeah, I guess there was a lot of slavery back in the day. You know, that's where everybody came in through the Caribbean, and then.
So you were born in Mexico, or
I was born in Tijuana, Mexico. Snuck in fair and square, like you say.
How did you snuck in fair and square, though?
I was a kid. My parents just drove me
under the dress. They hit you under the dress. Or how'd you do it?
No. They just
back then they didn't even check that.
Hey, is it true?
All you had to say was you're an American citizen. And the way my mom said, "Diles que eres American city," so I said San Diego.
Is it true?
Yeah.
Back then, like when you were coming in, that was easier to come in. Like nobody really sweated that much.
Yeah.
And you could just tell the Border Patrol, I'm going to Disneyland and let you in.
Pretty much, it was a lot easier if you spoke fluent English.
Oh.
You know, if they could just, they'd kind of go based it on that. If you're a kid, you come with your parents were legal. I wasn't, but my parents were. And everybody else in the family was born here. I was the only one that was born over there, me and my older brother. So, you know, if they checked, everybody was legal. I was the only one that wasn't legal. So, and I was the oldest, and I spoke fluent English. So, they're like, hey, American citizen, where you go to school? Oh, I go to, Washington Irving Junior High or Marshall Junior, you know, High School or whatever. So it was easier. I could talk, and I was raised here, so I didn't think, you know, I was raised here, so I'm from L.A. That's me, you know. So.
So you grew up in Chinatown?
Yeah, Chino Hills. The hills above Chinatown. Yeah, Echo Park.
Echo Park first, with the first hood you lived at?
Echo Park, right at the border with Frogtown.
Where's that at?
The Hill, right?
Oh, the hill.
Yeah.
So yeah, Angeles.
We call it the
Alessandro,
hill.
Man.
Yeah, Alessandro.
Right there, Alessandro and Riverside Drive up on top. It's still considered Echo Park.
By the Spanish restaurant.
Yeah. But a little further north. But yeah, that's we grew up on the hill there.
So you have a big family?
Yeah, we had 7 brothers and sisters, a 2-bedroom house.
Damn, a lot of fights.
Yeah, especially at night. It was like going to bed at night was kind of fun because, you know, the lights would go off.
And Battle the minute Royale. The light,
yeah. I mean, it's a 2-bedroom house. All the boys slept in one room. The girls slept with my mom. You know, and my dad, I don't know where he slept, but he wasn't home. He was out on the road somewhere. He would get home, party, and then take off and you know, just leave mom with the kids. But, yeah, the lights would go off, and all of a sudden, it was a free-for-all. Shoes would start flying. It's like, and you knew, they're going to turn off the light. The last one is to turn off the lights. Everybody reach down and grab a shoe, or you might grab your brother's foot, because there's so many of us in there. And all of a sudden, we started flinging shoes until somebody cried. And then that's when your parents would come in. ¿Qué está chillando? Who's crying? What happened? And they come in with the belt, and then all of a sudden, everybody's saints. We're all quiet, you know. She'd leave, and then the lights are off, and then it starts right over again.
So this is the Echo Park, like in the 70s?
Yeah, this is in the 60s, 70s.
So you went to your first school was Marshall?
No, the elementary school I went to was Alessandro.
Alessandro.
Which back then was, it's still there, but it was basically walk down the hill about 2 blocks. And, you know, back then we used to walk to school, you know. Nobody would drive us. You know, you don't have...
There was no parking lot.
There was no parking lot.
There was like 20,000 people dropping off their fucking kids at the same time.
Yeah. On Riverside Drive, you go by there now, and there's nowhere to park because all these people are dropping off their kids. When we used to go to school, there was plenty of parking. There were no cars there. You just walked to school, and you were there. And then if you want to come home for lunch...
A pony.
No, if you want to come home for lunch, you didn't even have to check out. You just go home, eat your lunch, come back.
It attracted you, huh?
Yeah. I'd go home, I'd watch Sheriff John, Lunch Brigade. Put another candle on my birthday cake. I'm another year old today.
That's an old-ass show,
That's
huh?
That's an old-ass show, man.
What's it called again?
Sheriff John.
Sheriff John, people, Google that, man. Yeah, get back at us.
Get back there and see Sheriff John. It's right before the Hobo Kelly got famous.
Hobo Kelly, man.
Hobo Kelly, man. She had these big glasses. She could look out there and she see all these kids that have white names. I can see Jennifer and Judy and Paul. I'm right here in front of the TV. I'm right here. And she wouldn't say, aquí estoy, chingao. And they wouldn't Armando or Jose.
She never said Mando.
No, she only saw people with names they could pronounce. I never liked my name when I was a kid.
Armando?
Yeah, because I could never find those little license plates or stickers or anything.
No.
No. So what damn, I gotta get why didn't call me Frank or something, you know?
Or Bill. There's plenty of Bills, huh?
Frank.
Yeah, you then
I'm glad they didn't name me Frank because Frank in Spanish is Pancho.
And Frank in German is hot dog.
Oh.
A Frankfurter, man.
Yeah, man, it's a Frankfurter, man.
So that's LA 70s? 60s?
The 60s.
When in the Hillside Strangler, you guys live by that side?
Yeah.
So your neighbor, right?
No, my neighbor down the street, about 3 houses down, she was one of the last victims. She was like the 13th victim.
Damn. Were you scared?
Yeah, the Hillside Strangler, yeah. Yeah, you know, you're
I'm too
age.
Heavy, man. You kill me, man. You just stabbed me 19,000 times.
Well, you didn't know what was going on, you know.
You didn't know what was going on, but they were finding. It wasn't like
they're finding bodies. They're like, oh, man, is this guy just like stabbing women or choking people? What the hell's he doing, you know? But
they have curfews?
Turns out they were from Frogtown.
Really?
Yeah, it was Kenneth Bianchi and Angelo Bono.
Angelo Bono.
Yeah, and the Bonos, I know their sons, Louis Bono and his little brother, Angelo. Nice guys. Very nice guys. But his dad, I guess, Kenneth Bianchi, the cousin was the one that was like the perpetrator and kind of got him involved. But they used to have like a body shop, not a body shop, a postery shop here in Glendale. And I guess that's kind of where they found some of their victims. But a couple of the first victims were there from Frogtown, a couple of girls. And they were killed, and they were left right off of Riverside Drive. There's a little park there now, but it's between Stadium Way, Riverside Drive, and before Alessandro, up in the hillside. They had dumped the bodies up there, and we lived just around the corner from there. You know, just go up the hill and over, and you were in our neighborhood. And they'd found a couple bodies up the street, up Alessandro there. So they're always dumping bodies out there. It was, I don't know, it's.
How scared were people back then, like kids? Did they know about it? Like now,
you know, kids didn't.
Now they would, everybody would know. Everybody hashtagging.
Kids, oh no, kids, man. Back then, it's like you got up in the morning and you tried to get to that bowl of cereal before all your brothers and sisters. Because remember, there's seven brothers and sisters.
I hate that shit.
Yeah. And you always wanted that prize that you saw on TV on the cereal box, and you couldn't get to it because somebody else was already at the table getting the prize. Like, oh man,
13 fools.
You know what? There was, because my mom had seven kids. My aunt, her twin, had eight kids. And they were always together because they were like twins. So they're always coming and visiting, you know. And they lived over the projects in Ramona. So they would come and visit, or we'd ride our bikes over and go visit them, you know. So
that's a lot of Cheerios, man.
Man. Remember that big bucket of peanut butter that was said USDA choice on it from the welfare department? Yeah, man.
That's a big-ass jar.
That's a big bucket of peanut butter. Yeah, we had that one in the cabinet. You know, my aunt would say, no, me dieron peanut butter. And we didn't even have bread, man. I remember my cousin would get like a big spoon and just stick it in his mouth, walk around like a lollipop, you know. One side, stainless steel. The other side, peanut butter. But, yeah, you know, when you were a kid, you'd get up and go out and play. You know, we lived on a hillside, so all we did was just go out and find stuff to do. We'll find all the kids in the neighborhood and do it. We weren't scared of this or that. The only thing we were scared of is when it got dark and you saw that your dad was coming home and he was driving up, because we could look at the next block on Alessandro and say, oh, shit, dad's coming. I got to go, guys. I got to go. I can't play freeze tag anymore. And then everybody would run home, man. You'd get home before your dad got home. And he'd be there all sweaty like, yeah, what's for dinner? You know, we're ready to eat.
Yeah, but, man, when I was a kid, man, I used to stay home out late, man. I don't care if I beat my ass. I remember one time I got an ass beating, man. Like, we used to go swimming at Pecan Park in Boyle Heights on First and forgot the name of the
pecan
street. First and Pecan, yeah. Yes. There was a Pecan Park there, man, and every time after they closed, somebody always had bolt cutters, and they'll just bust open that lock, and then everybody's in that swimming pool like Caddyshack. I mean, we used to go crazy. That's the only time you could go in that swimming pool with cutoffs.
Yeah.
And my mom beat our ass for going swimming, because I told my brother that, yeah, my mom said it's cool, man, we can go swimming. And it's like 11:30 at night, summer, Friday night. People are shooting outside, and my mom's all paranoid. Man, she kicked our ass all the way home, man. Everybody saw.
And you didn't even have a towel. You're dripping
wet. No, we're wet, dude.
That hurts more, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Parents used to, like, try and find things that would, like, beat the hell out of you and torture you with it, like a wet leather belt.
A wet leather belt.
That shit hurts.
You got hit with a leather belt?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, I was swimming too in the river though.
Damn. leather belt.
Yeah. Well, it's almost as bad as a wire hanger or the extension cord.
Oh.
Yeah, my dad was strong, bro. He used to beat me with a fucking washing machine hose. Eh?
It would make noise when he spun it.
Yeah. Here comes a spin circle.
It was permanently pressed on your butt after that.
So what happened when they found the Hillside Strangler, were you surprised it was your neighbor?
No, we just found out that she was basically, I guess she went in, from what I remember, she went in to get something done at the upholstery shop, and then they started like flirting with her, talking to her, and then next thing we know is they're recovering her Volkswagen from Angeles Crest off of Angeles Crest Highway. I guess they had killed her, dumped the body over there, and just threw the car down the hill or something. So they retrieved it then, and it was like, wow, man, you got Cindy. You know, and it was Cindy.
She was white.
Cindy Husbeck. Yeah,
she was white.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Was she a prostitute or just a regular girl?
No, she was just a kid. I mean, she, at that
14,
time,
huh?
No, at that time she was about, I want to say she was 18, 19. She was a little younger than I was.
Damn.
And she was kind of starting to live out on her own, starting her life. And it was funny because her mom was like a single parent back then, but she was like that. She looked like a wild biker chick, you know, but she always had like
a
twitch, you know. I don't know. Monster. But like she was on meth or crack or speed or something.
She hit a bad batch one time?
Yeah.
Chick on PCP.
You're like, yeah, and some of the guys she had were kind of, because she had all these different guys that would stay with her. And I remember one time we were drinking with one of them. This is, we were older. We were down.
Yeah. Larry from Motorhead was there.
No, this dude he's drinking with us, right? And he's a trucker. But he'd been in the Vietnam War. So somebody drove by and started shooting.
Damn.
You know, it was a drive-by.
Fucking strawberry.
Everybody hit the ground except this guy. He turns and he makes this motion with his arm like he has a gun and he's firing back. And Pops is dying. I don't know about what he did, but.
No, because he's like, you're hanging out with a real veteran. And I said, fucking strawberry went crazy. And then Pops were here laughing.
From up in smoke.
Yeah.
So don't look at his neck, man.
Don't look at me. Don't look at me.
We're going to need some oxygen right now.
So what happened, man, with the ranger?
What ranger?
That Vietnam vet and the trucker.
That ranger. I thought you drove a Montero. No, he turned around and pretended he was firing back. He didn't have a gun. But
oh, my God.
But his reaction was, because he'd been in the war, with the turn to start firing. So he turns, and he's firing an air, like an air guitar. But this guy had an air gun, and he's firing back. We're like, everybody's on the ground. Like, what the fuck you doing? He goes, I don't know, dude. I just started fighting back when I saw the flash. I started firing back.
Meanwhile, he's squirting fucking ketchup at somebody. Eh?
I'm like, fighting cause, man.
Yeah, all right, man.
Damn.
Next time, give that man a broom.
Give him the escopeta.
Sure. Yeah, it was. Yeah, and I'm, you know, thinking back, man, you know, when you're a kid, you miss getting killed quite a bit and don't never realize it.
Hell no.
Never realize it, man. I know we would ride down this hill that we call it Kelly's Hill because my friend Kelly used to live on it, right? It was Kelly's Hill.
I'm a simpleton, man.
Yeah, we would ride our bikes down, but you had to go across the street called Whitmore. And there was a lot of traffic because a lot of people would go to the Dodger game through there, right? So we would have one of the kids at the bottom and kind of direct traffic and then wave at you. Okay, it's clear. Come on down. And you just pedal your ass down this hill. Go as fast as you can and go across the intersection and go all the way up to the other block. And you'd make it up part of the way up the hill towards our house. But sometimes these kids would like, okay, go, go. No, 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 wait, wait, wait. But you're already coming down the hill. So they're like, bam. And kids would make fun of the other kids. Ah, Jeffrey didn't make the turn. Jeffrey didn't make the turn. Fuck you, Douglas.
Douglas.
Well, I grew up with a bunch of kids that were either Irish or they were white, or, you know, Kelly Connor.
So the white kids back then, huh?
Yeah, you know, it was Michael Kerr. Well, he was half Mexican. Michael Kerr and Douglas McLeod and Jeffrey McLeod.
Damn.
Douglas McLeod, he was one of those guys that he was proud that he had some German descent in him. And he was, I love German stuff. It's all, you know, precise mechanisms. And he would fix our bikes.
Was
right?
he fat?
Nah, he was tall and lanky. So they nicknamed him the Lanky Hog. And he had this wiry hair that almost looked like an afro. And
hey.
Yeah, and he would fix our bikes, and he was so precise. Oh, no, this is shit. You need good brakes, you know. And he'd be very precise till he lost his temper because he couldn't get a screw on. You're there, hey, Doug, I brought my bike, man. You think you put the brakes on it? Yeah, no. Oh, look, you need a Schwinn sticker on your bike. I have some, and he'd sell you a Schwinn sticker and fix up your bike. Oh, no, we'll paint it candy apple, you know, it's an orange crepe bike, so you got to get an orange crepe
pin. PK Ripper.
Yeah, dude, and he's fixing up your bike, and then something goes wrong, and he fucking, his temper just flares. Oh, fucking shit, God damn it, and tears your bike up and throws it off the porch.
Where is the oven?
No, like, what happened? That fucking American parts. It shouldn't be like German parts. They're like, shut the fuck up, man. You fix my bike. And then he's apologizing. Yeah, I'm sorry. I lost my temper. I'll fix your bike. I got another set of brakes over there. But But yeah, he's still around. He owns a mechanic shop down on Silver Lake. Yeah,
that's the one over there across the street from 7-Eleven.
That's the one,
dude. That one right there, the auto shop. He has a lot of old cars, right?
Yeah, yeah. And you look at a big
his
tall
dad
white
used to
guy.
Own that too, right? You told me one time.
No, his dad worked for the county.
So that's your friend parks. Who threw that bike.
Yeah, that's Douglas McLeod.
Douglas McLeod.
He owns that shop. He does some work there, and then he works for the city at the airport.
It's funny because the only reason I know that mechanic shop because you know Ivan, right?
Yeah,
Gabriel's assistant. He was all stolen one time, and they were taking one of those cars out to test it out. You know, like they just fixed it, and they were revving the engine, and Ivan ran into that fucking car, man.
Oh. Damn. Did Douglas pick up the car and throw it off the porch?
Yeah, he did, bro. He left it in the front, bro, to let everybody know.
Wow. Damn. Yeah, that's his place there.
So you grew up with a lot of Irish guys, not that many Mexican guys.
No, there was the Rodriguez's down the street. You know, they were down the street. Then Eddie Martinez up the street. He was Puerto Rican. And then I remember the first time we had a black kid in our neighborhood. That was a surprise because we never seen a black kid. So we're like, hey, what's your name? Dominic. All right, Dominic. You know, Dominic moved in the neighborhood, and we let him play chase with us. You guys ever play chase?
Chase run away?
Is like teams, right?
Or teams?
A team, you know, your team, their team, and you play hide and seek. So you hide.
And it's 5 against 5?
Yeah, but we would do it on our block, on North Alvarado and Whitmore. And you could hide under houses. You could hide on the roofs. You could hide in yards and trees, and we did. And people would come out, what are you doing on my roof? Go to the park and play. We pay taxes so you could go play over there. Ah, oh, shut up, Mr. George.
Dennis a menace over here.
Yeah, so we would. Mr. George was a trip because Wednesdays he'd give candies. Huh? Pops remembers.
Pops all, yeah.
Like, yep.
Yeah.
He would give up.
Well, what would he say on Wednesdays? Wednesday, kitty cat day. Yeah. Kitty cat day. Wednesday, kitty cat day.
Kit Kat, no Snickers.
No Snickers, Kit Kat.
As you can see, Armando grew up with his son.
No, Mr. George was there when they were kids. They were doing the same thing we used to do, is ride our bikes up and down. Yeah. You know,
down to Kelly Hill.
Yeah, he came down Kelly's Hill. You know, actually, Pops had an accident. He actually hit one of the cars coming down. And
but this was on Alessandro.
Yeah, this was a block over is where he got his brain injury from getting hit by a car. But that was a whole different thing. He was on the back of a bicycle.
A bicycle or a motorbike?
Motorcycle. No, it was a motorcycle.
So when was this happen, Pops?
Back in 1996.
How old were you?
11.
Did you remember it like it was yesterday or you forgot about it?
I forgot. I just remember turning down the hill and everything went blank.
Who was it, a drunk driver? Was it a little drunk driver?
No,
this lady ran a stop sign.
It was an old lady. And if you go up Alessandro and Whitmore, there's a stop sign there now. There's a four-way stop. There wasn't a four-way stop.
They could have sued the city.
Yeah, we tried. We tried to sue everybody we could, you know.
Fucking ass.
You know, he
there was no stop sign. There's a stop sign now because of Pops.
It was just one.
Nah,
we call it Pop Stops.
It took about 15 years to get a stop sign.
Yeah.
But now, basically, he was coming to his little league game. Pops was an all-star baseball player. And
yeah,
I was waiting for him at the park. I was working.
Third base man,
fucking Ron Say over here.
That's it, man.
El Pinguino.
Back in the day.
That was it.
Yeah.
Back in that era.
Yeah. You were coaching that little league team?
I was coaching. I was going to meet him down there at the park. I used to work at Paramount Pest Control, which is Riverside in Alessandro. And I was there, and I heard the ambulances and the fire department going by. Well, apparently he was coming with my brother-in-law on the back of a motorcycle. And as they were coming down, this lady made a left-hand turn in front of them, and they plowed right into her. So they T-boned the lady. Pops flew about 20, 30 feet.
In the air?
In the air without a helmet. And
whoa. That was before helmet laws and anything,
huh? Yeah. So he hit his head, and when, you know, I was at the park waiting, and this lady drives up, says, where's Pops' dad? Who's Pops' dad? I go, it's me. Well, what happened? He goes, your son's been in an accident and he's dying. I'm like,
damn.
You want something?
Damn, man.
Yeah. So we drive up there. She goes, come on, I'll give you a ride. I'll show you where he is. So I get up there and here he is, you know, with paramedics there. And
he's, blood everywhere?
No, not a lot of blood, but he was unconscious and then he was having a little difficulty breathing. He had broken his collarbone.
Put me in, coach.
And no, you know, he was wearing knee pads. He's got a mean ass scar.
You were a catcher?
Nah. Third base,
but you were wearing knee pad because of the game.
Yeah,
Yeah. Fuck yeah. You want the fucking, you want that butt into the kneecap, dog?
I would dive at the line drive.
Hell yeah, bro. Hell yeah. Deep down dirt, bro.
Hell yeah. I wasn't scared to get dirty.
You gotta be like a real dude to play third base in Little League, man. Cause they put my status in right field, bro.
Charlie Hustle.
They even give me a left handed glove because they know nothing going on over there.
No, that's always where they stick together. You're going to right field.
Oh, man. Hell yeah, Pop.
And the kids in right field are the ones that are always looking at the daisies or the flowers and just.
Third base, man, you gotta be alert. So what happened, man, after the lady hit him?
We went. I got in the ambulance with him, and he went to LA County. Their trauma center down there, and we spent like 3 months. He was in a coma, so
we
lived at the hospital for. I took my 2 week vacation there in the lobby because that's the only time I had left. So I went there, and he just trying to recoup. So they said, "Well, we don't know."
Took a snap.
Yeah.
What was going through your mind? You don't remember anything? That coma? Remember. You didn't dream?
No.
You didn't dream of anything. That's crazy.
Nothing to know of.
You were like Christopher on The Sopranos. Yeah. Didn't see nothing on the other side.
Yeah. Yep, that's it. And now, man, I just remember waking up and seeing the light when I would go back for my therapy, I guess. But that's about it. But no, I don't remember.
He's come a long way because he's basically told us he's a vegetable. You know, we could either warehouse him in a
trauma center.
Not the trauma center, but in a
like a Rancho like de los Amigos.
You went to Rancho de los Amigos too?
He couldn't even qualify for that. No, we were trying to get him in there to get
that's
rehab.
That's the place that Muhammad Ali went to.
Yeah,
that's funny, man. This is how sad things are here, because this guy gets hit by a drunk driver or a woman, and he can't get into Rancho de los Amigos. Now let me tell you, my brother got shot 3 times. They accepted him. He got shot 3 times by the sheriff. He got shot in the head, too, though.
Wow.
And he has a little bit of chip, but my brother was in Rancho Los Amigos, too, for head injury, brain surgery. That's probably the best brain surgery place.
No, it was, and we wanted the best. We wanted.
And what happened? They didn't let you in?
No, he couldn't qualify because he couldn't react. They'd tell him, okay, move your hand, move this, but he was still like half comatose, you know. So they said, well, you can either take him home or you can put him in a convalescent home and he can stay there. And I said, hell, we're taking him home. What the hell? You know, we're taking him home. And the day we took him home, he started to react. And he went from wearing a diaper and not being able to roll over because we had to get like a special bed. And every 2 hours, we had to turn him on his side so he wouldn't get bed sores. So all night, we would take turns. You know, okay, you turn him. You turn him over. Change his diaper. Feed him. We had to feed him with a feeding tube. So basically, he went from just laying there to getting stronger. And he couldn't speak, right?
Fucking Steve Austin.
No, he couldn't speak. He would speak with his finger.
Stuck back to day one.
He couldn't speak?
Boom. No, I couldn't speak or nothing. I would just use my fingers.
You learn sign language?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, with one finger.
Oh,
it was the index finger. It was either yes or no.
Guerrero.
Yeah, yes or no. Then that was how we communicate with them. And when we started making them laugh, because as a comedian, you love to make people laugh.
Yeah.
And if you can get a laugh out of your son who's in a coma, then he would crack up, and we would just keep trying to make him laugh, So.
Make him laugh.
We tell him about my dad, because my dad had taken him to
Pioneer Chicken.
No. That's another story we'll get into. He's cracking up about. See, my dad lived in Wilmington, man.
What happened to Pioneer Chicken, man?
A lot of things, man.
He got breast and gravy.
Cover your eyes, mijo.
No, I'll tell you the story. Okay, see, my dad had another.
He's from the old school.
He had another woman, right? And he had another family.
Another family?
Well, no, he didn't have any kids or anything, but he had this other woman.
He would just go stay in the room.
Well, he had other kids, but not at that house. There. That was another family he had.
He had another tool shed somewhere else, Raza.
But that was his house. We were living over in Wilmington. But the story is he was fun. The kids always loved going over to Grandpa and hanging out with him. But he was kind of my dad used to drink beer all the time, and he had like all these abandoned cars in his lot, where he lived. And when he ran out of beer, he'd just open up the trunk and he'd have another 8-pack.
Right. Damn. There.
Yeah.
But why is there Tecate Schlitz?
Light. Miller Light.
Miller Light.
La Miller Light. And then
Tequila Tres Generaciones. That was his.
Damn.
That's,
damn.
Yeah.
Keeps it real.
Man, that was him. And it was fun, you know, but the story about...
Pioneer Chicken?
Pioneer Chicken. It was actually over on Avalon, and there was a... I can't even remember the name. I think it was the Albertsons. I think it was Albertsons, but... my brother took him. He goes, "Mijo, llámame a la tienda a comprar beer." So they went in his pickup, my dad, you know, could barely move, and he tells my brother, "Go buy the beer. I'll wait right here." And then my brother comes back. He says, "Man, I went back. Dad's in the front seat of the truck getting busy with a hooker." And I guess I got there too soon because he looked at me and goes, "Mijo, back on comprar chicken. Go buy some chicken."
Like that movie Hard Times, homes.
For real, that fast?
For real.
You have to get a hooker?
Man, down there, there's people that were, you know, this is back in probably late 70s, early 80s or something.
It was a 80s, George, 80s, it was, yeah. Gerald Ford times.
Everybody, yeah, no, it was times where people were, crack was just kind of coming out, and people were like, you know, there's crack holes everywhere.
Yeah, your dad made a quick deal right there, man. Like,
he strawberries, man.
Yeah, and my brother just cracking up and go, "Fuck your dad, man."
He's, how old is your dad?
Gosh, at that time he was already retired from the construction trade. You know, he was a laborer.
Suave.
But he wasn't retired from piping.
Apparently not.
But about Pops, though, man, one thing is they never thought he was going to walk again or
they
nothing.
They never,
right?
thought he was going to walk or talk. So it just started gradual. You know, it started with one finger and just nodding yes and no and just therapy and
titties in the face at the strip club.
Yeah. And stubbornness.
Well, you know, it's funny because when you've got somebody that's injured and somebody you love, you see, you're watching your child grow up, it's the same love you have for that child.
Yeah.
But now your son is injured. So if you're gonna cry, man. And there was times where I went to work and I cried driving around crying like a baby. But you wouldn't show it, you know. And I get a little choked up remembering it because, God, give me a sign, man. Give me a sign. Is he going to be okay? And... so I get out my car. I'm going to the ATM to get some money. I'm like, damn it, give me a sign. It's right there, Silver Lake and Glendale Boulevard at the ATM. And there's a signal light there. All of a sudden, this Volkswagen pulls up. And I get my sign. Some guy yells out, "Hey, Mondo, your son's going to be all right." And he drives away.
Shut up!
I'm
dog.
Not kidding, man. I look
damn,
over. It's Chris, who grew up there on the hill also. An older guy. And he was like a hippie, you know. And he goes, "Hey, man, your son's going to be all right. Just tell him to eat his food and everything." And and I'm like, God, you even sent the guy named Chris. And Chris, you know, Chris was cool because he was one of these old school hippie guys that had been around. But, he, you know, his family, the Cordovas, it was Chris Cordova. They were all from 22nd Street on the west side, moved over to our neighborhood, and they used to build lowriders and put hydraulics. But Chris was like the hippie guy. He was into rock and roll and playing. And it's funny because he's the one that helped me get my first car registered.
Oh, yeah?
Because I got a 58 Chevy Impala.
Damn.
For $35 from his brother Frank.
Damn.
He goes, $35.
Oh, you car builders out there.
It came with no engine.
This was back in 73, 71.
Before it was cool to have cars.
I was in high school.
Before
right?
smart chicks.
Nah, dude, I got a photo of that car. That's a badass car.
No seatbelt in it. No,
badass car. It's called a Baby Cadillac.
Baby Cadillac?
Baby Cadillac, because that's what they look like, Cadillacs. So, I got $35. I was working part-time at a body shop. But the car's not registered. You're going to have to go track down all the owners. So I went to DMV, and they gave me a list. Well, you got to go find these three owners that owned the vehicle previously. So I'm showing Chris, who he said his last name wasn't Cordova. It was Gerubles. He goes, "What you need?" "I got to go track these people down and get their signatures that they're releasing the vehicle." "Yeah? Let me see." "It's all right. Give me a pen." He starts writing one. "Okay. What's the next name?" "This." "Okay. Here we go. Let me do it. Listen, they do a doctor's signature. We'll make it like this a little more fancier." So I ended up with three different signatures. And when you're a dumbass kid who's like 16 years old, you're like, "All right, cool." So I took a DMV. They looked at it. Said, "Okay, here you go. Here's your sticker."
That easy, man. Just like crossing the border, man.
Yeah, it was like, you know, had the car registered.
Just dot the I's.
Yeah.
And I wanted rims, man. The rims cost more than the car, man. I got some Supreme Mags with 520s. 520s with tires make your car look low.
Supreme Mags.
Yeah, Supreme Mags, man. And, and
what color was the car?
It was...
Primer.
No, it was white, white, and metallic blue, like a metallic baby blue.
Damn.
58 gas guzzler.
58, man. It had a 409 engine in it.
Is that the car where you made pops?
Yeah, it might be. Yeah. That's the one. Yeah, I just celebrated 40 years of marriage, and he goes, "Congratulations, Dad." I go, "It's your fault."
And what's up with that nickname that you have, pops, at the strip club, Crazy Man?
I don't know. One day I just happened to walk in there. I don't know. The blue. I walked in there and just got that name. I guess the hand went wild.
Let me tell
something.
You the story. I remember. He goes, "Hey, Dad, it's your birthday, right? It's my birthday. I'm gonna take you out for your birthday." So he takes me to the strip club over here in Glendale off of Sam
Sapphire, right? That blue something.
I don't know. It's Blue Zebra or something.
I went there one time with you guys.
Blue Zebra.
The Blue Zebra.
Yeah, I think it was a Blue Zebra. Anyway, we go in there, right? He goes, "I'm gonna treat you." We go in there. And the minute I walk in, one of the strippers sees Pops and yells, "Crazy man! Crazy man!" I'm like, "Well, I guess you've been here before, huh, son?"
my name's in the wall right there by the lockers.
Oh, dude, funny story.
They knew his password.
Oh, funny story. My wife calls me all frantic. "They've got Pops hostage."
What?
Yeah, that's what I said. What do you mean? What happened? This, I don't know. I could hear noise in the background, and then they're holding his phone, and the lady is on the phone talking to another guy saying, "Yeah, well, he owes me some money, so... he's going to the ATM. I'm going to hold his phone till he brings my money back." He's getting robbed. She called my brother-in-law, who's a deputy, and she's calling all over. Where is he? They're trying to find him. I get home, and she tells me what she heard. I go, "Oh, nah. You know what? I don't know how I know this, but he's probably at a strip club, and he's going to the ATM machine to pay for the lap dances that he didn't have enough money for, because he probably, the songs blended in. He got two or three songs now, and they're holding his phone until he pays them." So, sure enough, that's what it was.
$60.
Well, here.
Right on.
It was $60? Damn, yeah. Bro. I hate when it throws an extra song in.
Here's the funny story. The funny part is, my wife and I are waiting for him to walk in the door, right? So what happens? He walks in all quiet, and he's going to L.A. City College. Was it LACC or Glendale College?
And when you're going to be a priest, huh?
He's coming with his books and his backpack, and he's walking in the house. And then his mom goes, "Where were you?" He goes, I was at the library. She goes, "Sí, cabrón, the library." She went off on him. "Quieres chichis, cabrón? Quieres chichis?" She gets the broom and starts dancing on like it's a pole. And she goes, "Yo te enseño chichis." No, mom, scarred him for life after that. So
yeah, this fool shows up doing. And shit off. His face looks like they hit him with a bag of glitter.
Yeah.
He did like a 5-year-old art project.
I just went there for the buffet, man.
Glitter. Yeah, that's it. They put glitter on you on purpose, huh? That cocoa butter smell.
Cocoa butter.
So when you were working at that
Paramount
welding shop?
Welding shop?
And then you went to Paramount to do pest control?
Well, see, I was in high school, and I wanted to fix my car up, so first I got a job at a body shop.
You went to school with Judge Ito?
Yeah, he went to Marshall. I don't remember him. I don't think we were in the same class. He went to John Marshall, which was... It's funny because I had a black friend of mine, Stan, who, you know, he's a real good friend when we worked at Housing Authority.
Housing Authority.
Yeah, no, he was looking at my yearbook. He came over and visited, and then he looked at the yearbook, goes, "Man, your school was segregated." I go, "What? What's that?" He goes, "Look at all your pictures. There's different people from different races. Let me show you my yearbook. They're all black." I go, "Well, where'd you go to school?" And he went something like manual arts, right?
Yeah.
And that's all there was. It was like only two Mexicans. The rest, it was all black. He goes, "Man, and to me, I just figured all the schools were like that integrated. But no, it depends where you live."
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Housing Authority, though, that's where we actually had a connection, man. That's how I met Felipe, because I started doing comedy in 93. So here we go. We took the long way to get back to 93. Anyway, Emilio Rivera was putting on a comedy show. He started acting, and he started doing comedy. So he hit me up. He goes, "I know you always wanted to be a comic. Do you want to
I'm putting on a show. Do you want to do 3 minutes? I'll help you. I'm like, yeah, dude. So, you know, I did 3 minutes. He said, that was pretty good, man. Come back next month. I'm doing another show. We'll put you up again. So I did comedy for like 2 years, and then I didn't do anything, right? But when I got a job at Housing Authority, because I used to work at Paramount, so I worked at the body shop, and I worked at a welding place where we made sculptures. And I worked there for a year just out of high school, and I'd gotten married. So I worked there a year, and on my vacation, I went to work for Paramount. I worked there 15 years, and I went to work for the city at the Housing Authority. And that's where I started doing comedy in 93, and then I wanted to get into it. So I started seeing all these comedy shows, and Comedies Compadres was coming out at that time, remember?
Yeah, KTLA.
Yeah, KTLA had
Jeff Valdez.
Yep. And I wanted to get into comedy.
Garcia hosted that, no?
Yeah. So I started doing comedy first at work for luncheons or shows they had, you know, and then Gilbert Esquivel, I went to see him one time, and you know, I seen him at a couple of shows, and I walked up to him, hey, I want to get into comedy. And he's like, yeah, what do you do for a living? I go, well, I'm an exterminator. I kill roaches. He goes, I got roaches. Come to my house, get rid of my roaches, and I'll help you out. And so I went, put the magic gel in his house, you know, and he was impressed. He goes, damn, dude, that's all it takes. And
my wife don't even have to clean.
Nah, he was cool about it. He kept his word. He, you know, we went over jokes. He goes, he gave me tips. He goes, you know, record yourself, save the good jokes, you know, shorten this joke up. And same advice that Emilio Rivera had given me. He'd kind of coached me through it. But at that time, Gilbert Esquivel was hosting the Laugh Factory. So he says, I'll get you on once you got, you know, 5 minutes, or more like 3.5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'll get you some stage time at the Laugh Factory. So when I finally got booked for it, they had a work newspaper that was going to go and cover the story, right? So I get there, and I'm at the Laugh Factory, and so I've got this camera guy and the newspaper guy, and you know, went on stage and introduced me as this guy works for Housing Authority, and I run into Felipe, and he's in the, you know, when I get off stage, he goes, hey. You really work for the Housing Authority? I go, yeah. He goes, because I live in Pico Aliso.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I've sprayed your house before, man.
You did, man. 1634 East 5th Street, apartment
yeah,
one.
Yeah, dude.
My apartment right across the street from the main office.
Yeah. And we took photos together. So I've got the original photo and yeah. Newspaper clipping where Felipe
I'm wearing
and
wearing a hat, bro.
Yeah, you're wearing a hat. And you're wearing like a football jacket. You
know, yeah, man. I was trying to look like Axel Foley.
Yeah. Felipe was cool as hell. We became friends then and have been friends ever since. And, I mean, this guy's a wild man. He's got some wild stories. This guy, man.
Remember when I showed up at that play with you all fucked up?
At the play?
When we were, like, going to meet Fluffy, but I showed up to the in your car on the way to the... We were on the way to the airport, and I was fucked up. I mean, fucked up. I don't know if you
when
remember.
When we picked you up at 4 yeah. in the morning?
I don't know. Yeah, where at?
At over there, where you live with the Salvadorian Cerote.
Off of Denby?
Off of Denby.
Yeah. Felipe moved into the neighborhood after he left the projects, moved into the neighborhood. And I remember...
Which one neighborhood to another neighborhood, man.
I remember one time Mando was telling me,
2847
yeah,
Denby, bro.
He gave you a ride back from the haha, and you were all fucked up, and you're all, they're going to cut off my leg, Mando. I have diabetes. You don't have diabetes, man. You're crazy. Yeah. I was like,
oh, my knee must have been hurting, bro.
Yeah, that's when it was all, I don't know, you fucked it up before, and you twisted it again, and yeah. It was hurting you or some shit. You're gonna,
oh.
All right. You don't
yeah,
have diabetes.
Yeah, my knee was hurting, bro. Crazy.
Well, I remember picking you up. I know Gabriel came by because Gabriel at that, you know, we met Gabriel Iglesias. I met him through Felipe because Felipe goes, hey, this other guy he's going to hang out with. So we started hanging out together. All three of us would go eat after we hit the club. And
we used to eat good.
And we used to eat good. I mean, the first place we went to was a Thai place, huh?
Oh, yeah, Ocha. Yeah.
Was it Ocha or one
yeah,
of them?
It was, yeah, we met after the Laugh Factory. I don't know if it was the same night, but it was you and I,
uh-huh.
A couple of other comics. Juan Villarreal was there from
yeah,
Houston.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was there, but it was a lot of people. And then we went to one Thai restaurant that was closed. Then we went to another
That's
restaurant
right.
in Hollywood. Went to the Ocha.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, damn, this food could eat, bro.
This is
food, like, everybody already went before. Now I'm going to order this, I'm going to order that. And ordered like three plates. And you order fish, and they had the fish you wanted, man. It was good.
With that soup?
That soup, man.
Yeah.
Seafood soup.
With a little flame?
Yeah, man. It was like a little volcano there. But, yeah, that's where we met. But Gabriel would come and pick us up because Gabriel started getting gigs, or Felipe got a gig. Hey, I got a gig. You guys want to go with me? And it was funny because Gabriel started getting these gigs. And it was funny because we would go with him, but we're like, hey, he's just a young fucking kid, right?
Yeah.
And we're like, we're all just as equally as good, you know? He might have got a gig, but we're going to fucking tear it up. And it was a fucking strong lineup, man. And fucking Felipe, fucking featuring Fluffy closing. I was the host, opening. But Gabriel would come pick us up so we could go in the airport to the airport. And I remember fucking Felipe just getting up. After about a half hour of us calling him, hurry up, fool, we're outside. Hurry up, fool, outside. Fuckers takes forever, right? He comes out, and I don't know what he ate, but he must have eaten a dog with the fur on it or something. Because the fucker was farting, and it was horrible.
I was dying, bro.
It was horrible.
Every time I farted, my stomach felt hot.
It was horrible. And I have to sit
next to him. Are you sitting behind me or next to me?
I was sitting like one seat over, right?
Oh, yeah. We're going to...
You're at the window and I'm at the aisle, right? And he starts farting and ducks down and covers himself so it looks like I'm the only one in the seat. And it stinks. People are turning around looking at me like, nah, fuck, it's not me.
I must have been passed out.
Dude, that's all. Yeah, you were passed out, man. That's the best way to fly is knocked out. But crazy stories. I mean, I remember.
So then it was at Corpus Christi, bro. So I'm running late, right? And this fool goes into my hotel room, blows it up, and takes a mean ass dump, bro. And they leaves it there, bro. And they turn the heater up.
I remember that story.
So when I go in there, it's fucking hot, bro. It's more like the fucking truck stop, bro.
No, that was. Yeah, I remember that. That was. Shoot, I think that was in Phoenix.
Corpus, no?
No, that was in Phoenix.
Phoenix.
We flew out there. We were in Phoenix. And you were into wrestling mask and shit. Mil Máscaras or whatever.
Yeah.
And Fluffy and I were sharing the room. You had your own room because you were like, okay, well, fuck it. I got my own room by myself. You two guys, you go to those, stay together, right? So Felipe's like, I'm gonna go to my room. All right, see you guys tomorrow. So we'd always leave the door unlatched because we're walking back and forth on the same hallway. You know, go see what fool's doing, come back. Well, this fool puts on a wrestling mask, and he's wearing blue underwear. And all of a sudden, he busts the door down, and he goes, ah! Comes out dressed in a wrestling mask and runs out, right? Well, the fool forgot to unlock his door, so he's in the hallway in his underwear with a mask. So later on, he's like, yeah, I'm going to go get the newspaper downstairs. And so he went downstairs, and I tell Gabriel, give me his key, dude. Let's pull a prank on Felipe. So I went to his room. I blew it up, put the heater full blast on purpose, didn't flush. And then he comes back. We kick back in our room, watch TV. And then all of a sudden, Felipe's like, all right, I'm going to go to bed. So he goes to his room, and the phone rings, right? That's Felipe. Fool. I think the fucking housekeeper came in here and took a shit and didn't flush, and it's fucking hot in here.
Shit sauna, dog.
For real, bro. I thought that lady was watching novelas, took a mean ass shit, and just said, you know, fuck this greñudo.
Ate some popcorn.
Oh, man.
Hey, remember when the first gig we went to, where it was three gigs in a row, it was me and you and Martin Moreno and Ruby Quintana. And we're in a van with Rodrigo Torres and
Santa
Ivan.
Marina. Santa Maria.
Santa Maria. Santa Maria. That was one of the first gigs where it was like three gigs in a row for it. It was fun. Huh?
That was fun. I remember I was wearing a leather jacket. Remember that?
Yeah, trench coat leather jacket. You were the fucking Undertaker, bro.
It was like they'd given me a jacket for my birthday that was leather, but it was so heavy. It was like a cow, right?
Yeah, it was a cow.
So we're driving, and all of a sudden everybody's like, hey, pull over. We got to take a piss. And we're out in the middle of nowhere. And there's cows over there. We're talking about cow tipping, right? So I'm taking a piss wearing a leather jacket, and Felipe comes over and pushes me and tips me over. I thought you were a cow. I saw the leather.
So that was that time out. That
Bark at the Moon.
Bark at the Moon, bro.
I always wanted to be in a band.
That's when Martin Moreno went crazy, bro, listening to Black Sabbath.
Blaze it in. In the pit over there at Iron Maiden.
Oh, I remember going back to Santa Maria, and it was
It was Gabriel Iglesias.
Fool. We did the prison, bro.
Oh, I remember the prison.
You were with them, right, Pops?
Yeah,
he was with us. You did that prison with us, Pops?
Yeah, I think so.
And what was it, Lompoc?
Lompoc, yeah.
Yeah, you guys have a picture where you guys all have your shirts off.
The New Rock, yeah.
Yeah, we did a show at the Lompoc State Penitentiary Prison for the guards, right?
Yeah.
And then he gave us a little tour of the fucking prison. And we were walking in the yard, man. I could say I walked the yard on Lompoc with guards.
Yeah.
Remember when we hid from Gabriel and that fool got all scared?
Yep. Yeah. He went upstairs like, all right, ditch him. And we're
So, yeah, we went through the hallway. And then Gabriel came out of the restroom. And we left him alone in the prison yard.
In the weight room.
In the weight room. That fool came out, man. Almost shit in my pants.
And what he wanted to do, they had a payphone right by the cells, you know, where all the cells meet. And he gets on the phone. He's trying to call his girlfriend at the time. And I go, what the
hell? Oh, yeah.
What the hell are you doing? You idiot? These people can't use the phone. You're over here. I'm in prison.
Phone check. Check
us, goddamn.
Yeah, he wanted to call his girlfriend. Hey, guess what I'm calling you from?
I'm prison. Shit. Let's get the hell out of here. I don't want... And they took us the yard, and the guy's like, yeah, these are the guys that run the MA or whatever. And I'm like, what?
There was a paisas.
And they're just showing us the gangs, you know, the
little hands with mirrors all popping out.
The black guerrilla families over here. These are the mafia guys. And those are the paisas over there.
And he was calling everybody sweetheart.
Now, Wallace was that guy's name, remember?
Wallace, yeah.
Wallace, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And
remember we showed up to that. He took us inside that room where they sleep, and he goes, "Hey, girls."
Yeah, how's my girls? He tell that to the inmates.
And I'm thinking right now, man. What are they saying? How are the girls that he's bringing in us, or are they calling them girls?
Yeah, I was thinking, I'm gonna be calling them girls. Yeah,
those the fucking prison guards could party, huh?
Yeah, dude.
They were gonna kidnap us, bro.
It was fun, and it was like in their little recreation area at with their little encampment.
So you start doing stand-up comedy, then Pops wanted to join the game, huh?
He was hanging out with me, you know, but nobody
You were always taking him, though?
Yeah, but, you know, he's...
Pops, you were always funny, though?
I guess so, because I went to junior college for a while, because I didn't know what to do after high school. So I went there for a while, got my associates, and I was at home. I didn't know what to do.
You're an associate, bro.
And my dad started going out and doing shows. And I figured, hey, why not go and hang out with him? So I went. And that's where I ran into you, Felipe.
Oh, yeah?
And you told me, hey, fool, you want to get into this? Come here and meet me at this place. I'll give you 5 minutes. And I'll write some jokes with you at this coffee shop. And boom. That's where it all started.
Hell yeah, we're a couple of jokes for your ass, huh?
Yeah.
Man, you have to know, man, one time, like, I was doing a show in San Diego, and there was nobody around. Nobody, man. Nobody was going to want to go. It was like $200. Then I fucking called Pops. I said, man, this fool down? And this fool drove me all the way to San Diego. You did 20 minutes. They fucking loved them. And I remember we were driving home alone. I gave him the microphone. Yeah. We were driving home alone, remember? Yeah. And I told you, and I whispered in your ear, Ray, I think one of our comedian friends is gay. And he's driving, going, who, bro, who? And I said, give me a kiss and I tell you, fool, we swerved up.
Big time. I thought I was going to run off the road.
Yeah, if you never met Pops before, you know, he can only, like, really use one arm, you know, so driving's
the arm like a waiter.
Yeah, he has that little ball like a bus driver does, and when he makes a little quick little right, it's like a little adjustment from the chiropractor.
So, I remember Pop started doing stand-up comedy. He was at every show like a soldier. Like, remember we used to do that Rodney Dangerous joke? He goes, right. What we're going to do with Pops? If Pops would say, put me in a show.
Put me in, coach. Yeah.
So, that man. Yeah, so, you've done a lot of shows, right? You've been places?
Yeah.
You did get local comedy jam, Mike Rogers?
Yeah, thanks to Gabriel and Mike. I got on there.
Bobby Bites.
Bobby Bites.
Yeah, that fool.
So you did a remember Mando? We used to do them calm. The Que Loco show. You would bring pops over all the time, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Ever since he was a kid, like I say, when your kid is hey, Dad, where are you going? I want to go with you. You know, he's always tagging along with me, so I always took him with me. You know, and even though he had a disability, nobody was giving him a job or anything. You know, he hit you up. He goes, "Hey, I want to do comedy," and he said, "All right, I'll teach you." So you taught him, and he does pretty good, man. There's times where we perform together, and you know we play off. You know, I gotta give it up for Pops. You know, people look at Pops and they see him walk and drive, and then I tell him, you know, when I work with Pops, I get to drink, and he drives home, and so, so if we get pulled over, we're both can't walk a straight line. but yeah, he's gets around. He calls a lot of comics and does more work than I do usually. Yeah.
Pops always on the internet, man. So liking it. Shit.
Give me a spot. Give me a spot.
Joe Diaz going up tomorrow. Like. So you were on Vitamin C also?
Yeah, for one
episode.
Yeah, for one or two.
Would you do wrestle Brad Williams?
Nah, man.
Oh, they don't want to do it, huh?
Nah. Because I wasn't around then.
Oh, but you were supposed to do it then.
I guess so.
So they call you did Vitamin C. What else you been on?
Yeah.
Local comedy jam, Galavision.
And I don't know if you remember that Wes Craven movie, Red Eye.
Red Eye.
Yeah, I was like a passenger.
You're a passenger in the Red Eye.
Yeah, I just raised my arm like, yeah, we're taking off. But I didn't stab nobody.
Oh, man.
Did you ever work together in a movie or the extras or anything like that?
No, I don't think so.
Nah.
No.
But that would be cool.
Yeah. That'd be cool. I don't know. It was it's funny when you apply for some of these places, you know, for your resumes and stuff, for like, will you work for as a principal performer? Yeah, okay. Will you work as an extra? And I always write on the application, for extra money. Extra money don't pay shit, though. It's only like $60 a day if you're lucky, you know? So like,
you're lucky, man.
Just give me an apple. Give me
they lie, have no signs. Work extra, $200 a day.
Nah.
It's bullshit, man.
Pops used to work all the time, and then he joined the union, and then they stopped calling him.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I used to be extras, too, man. I worked on a movie with my dad. We were extras in a movie for... a Bruce Willis movie that was being shot in Grand Central Market. And our scene was me and my father are ordering tacos. Fool. My dad kept ordering tacos the same way every time, bro. Because he thought, no, cabrón. He looked at me and go like this. No, cabrón. You use the other hand, you know. Si, cabrón. Lo tiene que dar igual. You have to do it the same, right? So he'll be like ordering tacos. My dad started ad-libbing lines. Hopefully the fucking taco was going to give him a little roll, maybe. My dad's over there looking at Bruce Willis. He's like, I'm in El Güero.
Yeah, man.
And then Bruce Willis, like, we're in Grand Central Market, okay? They got, like, the butcher shop right there, and they got tongues of cow tongues, like a cow head. And Bruce Willis looking around, he's, like, looking around going, yeah, man, we're going to have some tongue after. Right? Because he never seen tongue. Like, what the fuck?
It gets even cheesier,
dog. You ever have to do a lot of stamps for envelopes? Just get a tongue, and you just lick the stamps and just put them on there like Three Stooges.
Laurel and Hardy.
See, you work for the city doing pest control also?
Yeah, well I did at the house.
And you went to Dodger games?
I went to Dodger games. Yeah, I was.
You're a big Dodger fan from day one?
Yeah.
Raider fan still?
I was a Raider fan back when Jim Plunkett was here. You know,
like big Raider fan. Here. You used to go to the Coliseum?
Yeah, I went and I saw seven fights one time when they just in our section, just when they played the Steelers.
It was crazy. You were there that game when that Steeler got he walked around during that hour, started flipping everybody off, and they beat the shit out of him.
The shit out of him.
You were there at that game?
I don't know. There's so many people got beat that day. You know, even the Raiders got beat. No, it was funny because there was this guy in front of me, drunk, right? You know, drunk people say some funny shit.
Oh, at a Raider game, a guy was drunk? Wow, that never happens.
Yeah, that never happens, right?
He's sitting in front of us, and they're bagging on this guy that's wearing a jersey from the opposing team, right? But then next to him, who's the person that's with him, is wearing like a Hawaiian shirt, and it says something about oral something, sexual escapades or something. So the drunk guy's looking at it, goes, "Yeah, whose dick did you suck?" Some people say some funny stuff, man.
They got into a fight over that?
You know what? That person wouldn't even turn around. He was afraid of this guy because this drunk guy was like, you know. I think it was the Packers because the guy. I just remember the guy yelling, "Fudge, Packers!"
These are Los Angeles Raiders fans.
Yeah, man. And they're, it's, I don't know. I couldn't get into, got into the Raiders when they moved to Oakland a little bit, but it just wasn't the same. I mean, you know. They were down here. They'd come to the schools and visit, you know, Alessandra. I remember Doki Williams coming in there.
She's a great talent.
Gloria had a Raiders jacket, and he actually autographed it for her. You know, so it was cool. It was like the Raiders were here.
Doki Williams.
Jim Plunkett. And,
Jim Plunkett.
Yeah. And Marcus Allen.
Marcus Allen.
Marcus Allen, you say.
Tell him what happened during that game, bro, when Marcus Allen didn't go in.
Man, Marcus Allen, man.
He was a badass player, huh?
He was badass, but and on purpose. I'm like, how come they don't put him in? How come they put him in? Like,
what game was it, by the way? Because they talked about it during the 30 for 30 about the Raiders.
Well,
it's something personal between
them. Something personal between Al Davis.
Al Davis, right?
Because he pretty much benched him. He didn't, even when they needed him and he could have won the game scored, he kept them on the bench on purpose. Because I came to find out later, I guess Marcus Allen had fooled around with one of his relatives, a niece or grand or something.
And he was married, huh?
And yeah, and I think he'd gotten her pregnant or something. And that was his way of, like, he bought him out, bought his contract out, and didn't let him play.
And that's what they didn't say on 30 for 30.
Yeah, 30 for 30. I didn't see 30 for 30.
Because Al Davis on the Raiders.
I saw the Spanish one. Hey, 30, 30.
No, on the ESPN 30 for 30 on the Raiders with Ice Cube.
The one that Ice Cube
they talk about the LA Raiders before they left. And then Al Davis, he was still, he still didn't talk about it. He just stood quiet, like, you know, that's. Even though Al Davis still had a big ass cold sore in his 80s, he said that's something between us that went down.
Yep. Well,
and then after that, he went to the Chiefs, huh? Motherfucker.
Yeah. And I went for the Chiefs too because I was like, all right, you know, I'm still rooting for the Chiefs, man. Yeah. Marcus Allen. What's that other football player too? OJ. Remember
OJ Simpson. Yeah. Yeah, he played for the 49ers at the end of the career.
Yeah.
OJ actually did it. On our old block.
OJ actually did work. Yeah, you know, actually, OJ did live on our old block.
Yeah, where at?
But it was a different OJ. There was a black guy kind of looked like him. You know, everybody in the neighborhood, hey, it's OJ! OJ! Yeah.
And he drove a white Bronco.
And he drove a white Bronco. It's true. Drunk guys on the neighborhood. I remember my cousin Roger over there. That guy was always drunk on the block. Remember one time he was so drunk that the neighbors called me up and goes, "Hey, come get your cousin, man. He's being a fool. He's fucked up. Come get him."
He was here hanging out with Fernando Valenzuela.
No, dude, I drove down. At that time, I owned a 78 Mercury Marquis station wagon with the wood paneling, four doors, and luggage rack. And I had to go pick up my cousin, right?
Hey, Griswold over here.
So I go in this big old boat, right? I get my cousin. He won't get in the car, right? So we get my cousin, and we tie him up on the roof on the luggage wrap so he doesn't fall off. We tie him with ropes, and I drive him home like I went hunting, and this is my big, my big deer trophy. And he's up there laughing. He goes, "Ah, Mardo, you fucked up." Well, this cousin is the guy that you would see with Ryan Seacrest.
Remember, he's all famous.
Security guard Roger, yeah. Got famous. That's my cousin. He was the one I put up on the top of the car, man. It's a small world, man. We live in a small world.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it gets smaller and smaller, man. You run into people that just like, man, how the hell was I ever going to know I'd run into Felipe? And he's, you know, big time star, a big one last comic standing or whatever. And he even got in Kathy Griffin's face once. He goes, "Yeah, I'm funnier than you, bitch." They didn't say that. No, no, yeah. Kathy, if you're listening, didn't say that. Said something similar, but you know. He said, I can make people laugh in your kind of crowd, and you probably can't do that in my kind of crowd. Something to that effect.
So what happened? So your wife is... So you're married 40 years now? Wow, Pops, you did it, bro.
It's his fault, man. Yeah, 40 years. My wife's half Mexican, half Chinese. She was raised by Chinese Mexicans.
No way. So, yeah. From Chihuahua.
From Chihuahua.
Your wife is from Chihuahua or not Juarez?
She's born in Juarez, raised in Cuauhtémoc, Chihuahua.
Cuauhtémoc, Chihuahua.
Yeah.
So a lot of the listeners are going through the heads right now. Wow, no way, man. There's no Chinese people in Mexico.
Yeah.
But when did those Chinese people show up to Mexico? During the were they like in a part of the railroad?
Yeah, part of the railroad.
That was in Mexico, huh?
Yeah, they actually landed in San Francisco because that was like a main port. And this is like turn of the century.
Angel,
man.
Island, right?
Turn of the century. They I guess they came and they were following the train.
Train tracks.
That's where the word chink comes from.
Chink,
because when they were working on the railroad tracks, you're hitting the spikes with the hammers, and it goes chink, 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 and they use the Chinese people to do it. So it's chink, chink, chink.
Why? Because they work faster.
Yeah. They were cheaper too.
Oh yeah,
they were the Mojados back then. You
but
know?
They funny that they shipped cheap labor from China,
yeah, from
right?
China. They were bringing them in from
and
China.
They were following the work.
That's where that saying comes. You don't stand a Chinaman's chance in hell that he's going to get out of there in time, because they would put him over to blow up mountains. They'd hang him over in a bucket with a rope with dynamite, and they'd light the fuse, and they'd have to try and get out of there before it would blow up. So they were like cheap labor that was expendable. So some of that comes from that.
Who built the railroads? Fucking chinks.
That's chink, it. Chink. So anyway, the railroad went through Mexico as well. So they settled in this little town that is now a huge city. And they're the like the founding pioneers of that town. But yeah, I remember my father-in-law, you know, asked me, "How do you say my name in Chinese?" And he goes, "That's easy. It's two words. The first word is long." Oh, cool. I'm long. The second part is ha, long ha, long ha. Long ha means blubber in Spanish. He goes, "It means the same thing in Chinese." There's a trip going down there. I went down there.
It's a trip because I'm like, damn, Chinese people in Mexico.
And it's funny because they spoke fluent Spanish. That was their first language. They spoke Spanish. Like, whoa, man. And
what's your name?
Chinese.
Juan.
Chingao.
No, they're funny because they say, well, how do you say
they're Fongs?
Yeah, the Fongs. And when they asked my father-in-law, he goes, oh, no, mi nombre en español es Chulo. Chulo.
That's funny.
Yeah, no, they and he was actually back in the... I guess in the 30s,
my dirty 40s,
sister,
actually,
the 40s, yeah, like the golden era of movie making in Mexico. He started in as an entertainer, and he was dressing up and doing some comedy and stuff, and tried to get into acting and stuff and theater. So that was one of his things. So
met her here in L.A.?
I met her here at John Marshall High School. We were walking home from school with my cousin Roger, security guard Roger, and my other cousin Julio, and we're walking home from school, and we see this short girl who was pretty good looking and these two other guys walking home from school, and we're trying to ditch my cousin Roger because he was like the black sheep, but we were always trying to ditch him and mess with him. He's the one guy you'd always mess with and pick on just because you'd make fun of.
Schlep rock.
But yeah. So we were trying to ditch him, and you know, we kind of ran into them and talked to them a little bit. But the next day, it was like the first day in one of the classes, and they had a fire drill. So when we went out to the fire drill, she was right there next to me. So I started talking to her. I go, hey, did my cousin and I bother you or anything? She goes, no. So afterwards, like, hey, well, can I walk you to the to your next class or whatever? And it was a fire drill. I thought she was hot, you know. So
what a gentleman, you know.
Well, let me walk you to the apple machine, you know. We'll get an apple. We'll split one.
Chambelani.
Yeah?
Yeah, so that's kind of how that started. We used to walk home from school. And it's funny because we used to walk. It was 2.5 miles to Marshall and 2.5 miles back. So I would walk 5 miles every day.
Damn.
And to junior high, it was 2 miles. So I would walk 4 miles every day when I'd go to. So I always walked. And then once I got in like the 11th grade, I got a car and I could drive. And then I started adding on weight, you know. Because I wasn't doing the 5 mile walk every day.
Did you tell me one time, Mondo's like, man, that's when I got fat, eh? When I started working for the city.
When I started working for the city. I went to the doctor. The doctor tells me, he goes, you're gaining weight. He goes, I got a job with the city. You know, what can I say?
So you were looking for the LA City County?
Yeah.
How many hard workers did they really have?
Hard workers? The ones that were on working for the agency that were like temporary. They're trying to get in there. Oh, come on. I want a job. I want benefits, because that was my thing. I wanted to get in and get benefits so I could keep medical insurance for Pops and the rest of my families, because, you know, his
so you're doing pest control for the city, for the housing authority?
For the housing authority. They had roaches coming out there. Roaches. But it was pretty bad.
Did you ever, like, take a lunch break and go, like, to a Laker game or something?
One time, we would spray these places, and they were so infested with roaches that roaches would crawl up your legs, because you're spraying, and they crawl up your legs, your neck, all over you. So it's an awful feeling. And I remember going to lunch, and I'm at McDonald's, and I'm eating a cheeseburger, and I guess I had a cockroach in my pocket, right?
So fucking Men in Black.
I've already taken like two bites out of this thing, right? It's half gone.
Fuck.
And then a roach falls and lands right on the sandwich. I'm like, fuck. I'm not going to bite it now, right? So I go back to the counter, and I say, hey, look. You know, and I'm looking around, and I don't want anybody else to see. Hey, look what I found in my burger. The guy's like, yeah, all right. You want your money back? No, I want another hamburger. So I ate an extra hamburger that day. Yeah, no, you get bugs in the strangest places too, man. Because I wear straps on my knees, knee pads, just to keep them from crawling up my leg and having a ball, you know. So, because you go home, take a shower, and take your clothes off, and there's a damn bug there. So.
It's like a roach tourniquet.
Yeah, roach tourniquet.
Exactly. It used to spray, like, you know, Jordan Downs and those projects, right? Didn't you say you got shot at one time?
Yeah,
there? Drive-bys and shit when you guys were spraying?
Drive-bys, because they had been killing each other.
They're trying to exterminate the exterminator.
No, you know, and it's
what we got to clean our house for, man? Roaches are going to come back?
Well, I like the way they described us.
How about that dude you still with that man? You didn't go in my room, are you?
Oh, that guy. Oh, that's that Jordan Downs.
What happened?
Jordan Downs. This guy would always wear... He wasn't all there, right?
It's Jordan Downs, bro.
Jordan Downs,
the
man.
The glasses are full, man.
But he would always wear like a sports
Jordan
jacket.
Jordan Downs in South Central?
Yeah, off of Century and 103rd.
Century and
103rd,
people.
Watt Street, baby. 103rd Street, Watt Street. Bam,
Avalon, right, man. See you at Lucy's.
Man. This guy, every time we'd go to his apartment, we were going to go spray, and they send him notices to take everything out. We're going to spray it.
Motherfucker didn't take shit out.
He would take everything out, whatever, as best he could, but he never wanted us to go in his bedroom. He'd always tell us, don't go in there, okay?
Don't go in there,
Don't go in there.
The old brother?
Yeah, he was a little older, but he just, you know, he wasn't all there. Always had a suit on, you know? And not a... like a dark suit. It was like a light colored suit, beige with checkered shirt or whatever. And he just, he wasn't all there. And he's like, don't go in there. Don't go in there. And you're spraying, and all of a sudden he'd walk in and go, hey, don't go in there. All right. Don't go. One time my friend Stan was like, you know what? This is about the fifth year we've come to this guy's house. Twice a year we would go in. And he's like, this
I'm going
the
in
fifth
there.
Year.
What does this
I'm going in there.
In
see,
there.
What the hell is that? Goddamn bedroom, right? We go in there, he's got an ironing board and a stack of nudie magazines. That's why he didn't want us to go in there.
Don't go
old
in there.
School brother.
Don't go in there.
Don't go in there.
Don't go in there. So that's the don't go in there, man.
What's the craziest gig you ever did, bro, like before we go here?
I did a winery one time in Gilroy.
Oh, really? I did that with
he
you.
Was with me. Rodrigo
oh,
was with me, yeah.
Oh,
and they paid God, me they paid dude. Me with wine.
No way.
Yeah, and I got drunk.
But they say
stage.
We don't have the money.
We got drunk. We both got drunk. We're getting driven home, and we're like...
Story of my life right here.
Yeah, no, we go into a Jack in the Box, right, to get some food, and this fool throws up in the drive-thru.
Fuck.
And the lady at the girl at the window is like, oh, she hands him a bucket of water. Go wash that. There's Rodrigo washing it off.
It's because I crossed.
Wine throw up is horrible, man.
I drank wine and then I drank scotch, dude, like four after that. And that's when I just fucking won.
You know what? You know which wine story?
Sean Connery.
Which wine story?
This foot turned to Sean Connery after a couple of wines.
Almond wine and then I have some scotch there.
No, the funniest wine story that cracks me up, I wasn't there. All I heard was that Felipe tore up a hotel room.
We were just in that one right now.
Yeah?
Yeah, in San Antonio.
Oh, man. It had white.
white carpet, and his manager at that time, Pat Buckles, calls him up. What'd you do to that damn hotel room? There's wine stains all over the floor, red wine. He goes, okay, Pat, next time I'll drink white wine.
That was Houston.
That was in Aspen. That was the Aspen Comedy Festival, working with David Brenner and the late David Brenner.
Damn.
Yeah, man, that was bad.
Wow.
Yeah, spill the wine. Stick so what's up, Pops? You over there all quiet like a little soldier.
Like a security guard, dog.
Yep. Gotta watch out for the roaches.
You also spray the Laugh Factory, huh?
Yeah.
The Laugh Factory of Hollywood. 8001.
Long Beach, too.
Long Beach, too.
They had a problem a couple years ago, buddy. What was the that dude from Home Improvement?
Tim Allen. Oh, I was at that show.
Tim Allen is on stage, buddy.
What's at that show?
And the rat shoots across stage, buddy. We need to get the rat.
Tim Allen was on stage in a rap through by, bro. I tried to guess it. Jamie told him to come back in 2 weeks. You need more presents. He said, put bigger ears. You'll be Minnie Mouse.
You need some white gloves.
Oh, what's up, Pop? Any crazy phone calls you answer?
Oh, man.
How about when you guys were on the road that one time and that lady from the library is, oh, my God, Armando, his voice.
Yeah. Once in a while, the owner, Mincy Shore, will call the office and she'll tell
you
my dad.
You from the comedy store?
No, yeah. Sandy Shore.
Sandy Shore. From the comedy store, yeah.
From the comedy store. She tell my dad, hey, Armando, you have some drunk guy answering your phone.
Yeah, she thought it was hilarious because we were in Indio, and she called us up because she was booking the gig out there, and she calls up and she's telling us, "Oh my God, it's so funny! You have a drunk guy on the phone answering the phone, and he was hilarious! Oh my God!" I'm like, "No, that's my son, and he's disabled. He's not drunk. Is this just the way he's been? Oh, he's funny! Oh my God, he's hilarious!"
No drunk guy, ma'am.
I get a lot of reviews on Yelp, and one guy had actually, he gave us a bad review because he goes, yeah, well, the guy that answered the phone is some grumpy old man, you know. Oh, man, he's not grumpy, he's just the guy.
Just Pops.
People nobody else would laugh, give him a man. Job, and I gave him a job, and you're going to bag on him? Hell, go take your business somewhere else, you know.
At least I'm trying.
Yeah, at least he's trying. You ain't supporting him. Nobody else would give him a job, I gave him a job.
Pops is trying, man.
Yeah, so... So there.
But yeah, then, man. Go ahead, Pops.
But then I go spend the money at the strip clubs.
Damn.
Go over here bending poles.
Putting bugs in a computer. So, man, we have Pops over here. Thank you very much, Pops, for being here, man. We're going to be at next, bro. Where can we find your ass?
I'll be actually right there at Dave & Buster's in Arcadia. I'll be there doing the show.
With who?
With what's that guy's name?
You're the main star, bro. We don't need his name. Just give us a date.
Oh yeah, October 30th.
All right, the day before Halloween, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, with it's
Sebastian, Austin. Huh? You don't want to say his name, huh?
Austin.
Oh, Mel Austin.
Mel Austin, a clean show.
The clean show.
I know Mel Austin. I just met him at the Laughlin Comedy Festival. He was asking over there, like, where can I find, how can I make sure the clean comics are clean? I said, well, how are you going to know? You work with him?
He's a good guy.
He does a lot of clean shows.
Cool cat.
Yeah. I met him at the Laughlin Comedy Festival. He's a good cat.
Yeah.
He does that show once a month at the Ontario Improv. Squeaky Clean Comedy is his card.
We did a comedy show at a church once, and he was booked.
Hallelujah.
There too. Yeah, and it's a Catholic church, so they're serving beer and alcohol. And...
And bingo.
And forgiveness. And but it was funny because I actually, you know, said the F word while I was on stage, and the priest just finished doing 5 minutes. So like, oh, sorry, Father, I'll do 5 Hail Marys. But I met Austin. He was there. Mel Austin was there. And I'd met him before at other places where we were kind of doing open mic before. And so, yeah, he's a cool cat.
So we're going to be at next, Mondo?
Pleasanton with Felipe Esparza. Right, it's part of Felipe's world.
Hell yeah, bro.
Yeah. I don't get booked that much anymore. I'm too busy usually killing.
Yeah, you know, that's the whole world.
Bro, I remember, bro, me and you, Mando, we used to fucking bootleg the shit out of our CDs, remember?
No kidding, man.
And you used to fucking make your CD look like an oranges.
Yeah.
You used to be like, who wants to buy an orange?
Who wants to buy orange?
Nah, fool, how about we used to put on the KFC hat, dog?
Ah, the
remember that shit was hilarious.
Oh,
dog.
The liner.
Me and I would go hit a bowl, bro. We'd be hiding on the table laughing, bro.
One more time, so they don't make those things anymore. Eh?
They don't make the hats?
I have a bunch. I made a copies and I have them in my file. So I got them and cut them out.
Do a KFC joke, bro.
I would do it in Spanish. Hola, I'm probando mi pollo.
Yeah, people, Mando will put on a KFC hat and do chicken jokes.
Yeah.
Yay, the colonel died recently. They buried him in a bucket. No, I take it back. They cremated me. He's extra crispy.
Nah, fool. You used to say, hey, how do you catch a unique rabbit?
Unique up on them.
The dolphin style over here.
There's a dolphin one, bro.
Oh, my God. Dolphin style. It's kind of like doggy style, but if you hit the wrong opening, she's going to go,
hey, bro, I heard that you were in San Jose doing the Fluffy show and doing the roller coaster. They couldn't find your ass, dog.
Oh, really? I wouldn't be surprised.
And Mando.
But you know, the funny thing
Mando.
Is, be
Mando.
Ready.
Mando.
Mando. Oh, fool. Dude, one time, dude, this is fucked up, man. We were fucking Fresno, California, and Gabriel Iglesias was on stage, and it was already like 1 hour on stage.
Stretch.
It's getting to 30 minutes, 1 hour and 30. Me and Mando went to go party. We put a homeless guy on stage to grab him off the stage, remember?
Oh, we did, yeah.
Fuck. Yeah,
he was
going to
do the lottery. He goes, and bring up Mr. Mando Cosio. And I push, and right before he goes on stage, the drunk guy, how much money are you going to give me? I'm going to give you $10.
Oh, my God.
Get your fucking ass out there. You're going to go get off stage.
You pushed him out there.
Yeah, he pushed him.
He wanted more money. He was trying to get more money out of it. Get your ass out there, man.
Dude, he was a homeless guy on the street.
Exterminate your ass.
And it was funny because after he got off on stage, he went to the lobby and they tried to kick him out. They go, no, I'm a fucking star now.
Yeah, fool.
Me and Mando
went outside. He was outside trying to be funny. And me and Mando brought his stinky
That's
ass
why
on
Gabriel
stage.
Don't have you there because you used to interrupt his set all the time.
I used to always interrupt his full set
Dude,
when it was too long.
Dude, one time we're in Corpus Christi. It's a theater, right? And they have all these props around. They have swords in the back. So Fluffy's doing his act. Me and Felipe start sword fighting in the background. And we're pa, pa. And we go across the stage one way, across the stage back the other way. Sword fighting. He's like, what the fuck are
you
these
can
guys
hear the,
doing?
It was real swords. You could go.
So I think one of us hit our hand or something. Ow!
We did the same thing to Paul Rodriguez one time. He was on stage, man, and Gabriel showed up, and we put on the fucking Beatlemania wigs on. We fucking stretched them out, too.
Man.
Yeah, man. It was fun having you, bro. But you got anything to say? Tell us right now.
If I have anything to say about what?
Anything.
Man.
But yeah, that's a good road, huh? It's been good times, huh?
Yeah, it's been good times. We've had some good times, great times, funny times, man.
Never forget those days we used to watch the Lost at your house and shit.
Oh, Survivor.
Survivor, my bad. Survivor. Man.
How fucking boring was that, right?
How about Kung Pao Chicken, man?
Kung Pao Chicken, bro. Remember one time we were playing, Pictionary with Pops, man. I had fucking Pops on my team, me and Gabriel. And fucking Pops was drawing, man. And we were just throwing out anything because some of his drawings didn't look too good. It was all stick, man.
Stick figures.
And then Gabriel yelling out, swimming pool, lunch, boat.
Popsicle.
Popsicle. And then Pops said, come on, bro, think, think.
Come on,
man. The funniest one. We were playing dominoes, and you had Tony Sanchez in your team.
Right.
And me and I had Gabriel.
Ugly-ass Tony.
And then you said... And then you said, fuck your Tony, man. You let them cheat on us, bro. They've been reading your dominoes off your forehead.
Because his forehead was greasy. Oh, give me 10.
That's what you remember? We used to go to that breakfast place. You took that fool's bread.
When?
Harbor House.
Harbor House. Oh.
It's one of those fools that doesn't like anybody touching his plate.
Yeah, I remember. He, and then you just hear him blow wind, go. Like he wasn't going to eat after that.
All right. I know. Huh?
So you don't want the eggs either.
Good times, dude.
Oh, my God.
Remember they banned us a while? Remember they kicked me and Rodrigo and Alfred from
Ordóñez. And then we went back. I'll try to be cool one time. And then all you too, to Alfred. He's all
yo.
Yeah, you too, dog.
Oh, dude, I remember when you got kicked out of the club, out of the hotel over there in Phoenix.
Oh yeah.
Oh, dude, because he had a party going up there. You didn't, he had a party, and they ended up at the Motel 6 somewhere.
Yeah, old Indian School Road.
Yeah, he's on the phone going, fool, I can see the hotel from here. I'm over here. There's fucking nothing but crack and crack holes around here and thugs, man. We didn't sleep at all.
We didn't sleep at all, bro. You know, it was a bad Motel 6, man. They had a basketball, but they had a basketball court, man. That's how bad it was.
And paper thin walls, dog.
That was a bad time, bro.
Crazy. Remember, funny thing that cracked me up is when I sleep at night, I wear a CPAP machine, so I got this mask.
Oh, yeah, the snoring machine.
Yeah, I remember Felipe's walking by, and he's bringing somebody over, and he goes, be careful, my dad is on life support.
No, and then I'm asleep, right? And these fuckers are blowing pot inside my machine. And it's inhaling all the pot and blowing it into my mask. I'm like, they're getting me high.
Me, Ivan, and Gabriel blowing smoke inside his mask while he's sleeping. That was in the
we
Matrix.
We got up hungry that morning, man.
You know, the smell didn't go away. I'm sorry, man.
Started taking bread.
It got stuck in the filling. That smell was there forever after that.
You were snoring, bro. Like, before that machine, bro, you were, like, tearing down fucking long jaw. How bad was your dad snoring, bro?
He was snoring so bad, the paint would tear off the walls.
It was bad, bro.
No, I remember this fool with Visalia. He goes, fool, you snoring so loud, the curtains were flowing in every time you inhaled.
Ooh, my dad on life support, dog.
You're very quiet. That's my dad on life support.
I like that. It's cool.
Starting to wake him up, smack him with a pillow, huh?
Oh, dude. My God.
Fool, remember, dog? Tell this fool what happened when we were doing that show, me, you, and Gabriel, with Patrick DeGear and a man having a heart attack right in front of you guys.
Oh, my God.
Fuck.
He's treating us to a steak dinner, right? And all of a sudden, this guy starts to have a heart attack, and he's on the floor, and he's like,
everybody's panicking,
basically, bro. 3 feet away from us. And the paramedics are working at, we're at the table with steaks, and we're looking at the guy, and I'm like, I can't eat. Gabriel and Felipe are like, I can't eat either, man. And then Patrick DeGear is just eating away, you know, he's like, well, fuck, I can't see, I'm blind.
Oh, dude.
I start tearing up the steak, bro.
Scandalous.
Oh, but yeah. And I remember the guy that was taking us around, he was a school teacher. And I remember what Felipe told the guy, because the guy's confessing to us. He goes, you know, my life's kind of getting back together. I tried to commit suicide. And Felipe looks at him and goes, loser! What a loser!
What did he say, though?
The guy just kind of like, yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah.
You want to change the monotony of the conversation, bro.
Oh, it's fool. When somebody brings up suicide or, like, remember, fool, that one dude, Joey from Tampa, and then all those dudes raped my sister? All right, dude.
All right, hey.
All right, I'm going to fuck.
Yeah, man, you take your Molly and go home.
It's like, if at first you don't succeed, don't try Russian roulette.
Well, man, great having you, Armando Cusillo, as a guest on the What's Up Fool podcast.
Yeah, man.
And don't be a stranger. We'd love to have you back, even as a co-host, bro.
Oh, I'd love to.
What's up, Pops, over here, man? Looking like a gangster.
Fucking pleasure, man.
Pleasure to have you, bro. Pops, where can they find you on the internet if they want to look for you?
Look me up at
Mañoso.com.
Sunnybrook 75.
Sonny Brooks.
Sonny Brooks.
Sonny Brooks at AOL.com. Also on Pops, I follow him on Twitter. So we'll shoot you a link. Are you on Instagram yet? You get involved in a selfies yet or what?
No, but I'll try it.
All right.
I'll try to get on there. Yeah, so look me up at PopsCosillo.com.
PopsCosillo.com. Also, he'll be at Dave & Buster's October 30. What city?
Arcadia.
Arcadia with Mel Austin.
Right on. Well, you can look me up at Swinging Chile.
Still Swinging Chile,
Still
bro.
Swinging Chile.
Who got you on Instagram, bro?
Felipe.
Felipe.
The only thing about Instagram that I can't get used to, and that's why I don't go on it too much, is my eyesight is not what it used to be. So I can't zoom in
Same
on the
here,
photos,
bro.
Man. I'm like, damn, I hate this.
Same here, bro. I got me glasses to read now.
Yeah,
so
Carlos Antiojos. Yeah. But, yeah.
So what's up, man? How's your health? You beat diabetes and all that shit?
Nah, man. You don't beat diabetes. You can't. That's my inheritance.
That's what
man.
You said. You tell that joke like I'm gonna diet diabetes.
I'm gonna that new diet diabetes. Yeah, no, it's I saw a good looking girl. I told her, hey, you need a sugar daddy because I got sugar diabetes.
Don't go in there.
Don't go in there.
So, what's up, Rodrigo, man? What's it like working with these guys?
Cool as fuck, dog. Mondo's one of the coolest dudes I've ever met, dude. Seriously, on the real, man. Just smooth. I only seen you piss like twice, dog.
Yeah, and that was usually because of Tommy. Tommy was the funniest worker.
Fucking
because
Mondo.
He was just like, he had the worst grill that you ever saw. We even told him, how come we don't go get your teeth fixed?
When he bites the apple, he let three people bit it.
That's him.
Yeah. It was blood on one.
Thomas, man. But he was, oh, man.
Great white teeth, man. Hey, he's funny, though, dog. Remember the Ray Charles, the blind dog?
Oh, dude. I'm at this house, right? And I'm doing work at their house. I'm fixing these openings to keep the rats out. And he comes to help me. But the dog they own is blind. Right? So the dog is walking around the house and he's blind.
Sunglasses on his shirt.
So all of a sudden, Tommy walks in and he goes, oh, no, I'll stay out here. I go, why, Tom? Come on in. He goes, no, I don't want Ray Charles to bite me. It was funny. He'd say some stupid stuff that was funny, man. It was hilarious.
Before you go, man, I just want to say that I remember that one time, man, that we were all going to go to Dodger Stadium in your car, and we were fucking deep. Man. We had Rodrigo, we had me, we had my son Philip, your brother Hussein, we had Pops, we had Gabriel Iglesias, we had Ivan in the car. We get there sold out. We said, fuck it. Oh, God, we would have got kicked out. We were so deep that we probably would have got kicked out of the game.
Oh, too bad. Yeah, too bad we didn't know Theo then.
I know, right?
Theo would have got us in there.
Yeah, man, we definitely got to go to a Dodger game together, man. I still sit in Pavilion.
Next season, though.
Next season, bro.
Dude, I'm down.
Hell yeah, bro.
I can walk there from where
fucking opening day, though.
Helmet weekend, bro. Your mom is so ugly, bro. She went to Helmet Weekend at Dodger Stadium. They gave her a construction helmet.
I went on Helmet Weekend, but it was... They were like yellow buses, and the kids had helmets. But I guess it was a slow game. Right, Pops?
So what's up, Pops?
Tell him, Pops. Yeah, you're slow.
I saw a couple classmates, too. No, but yeah, Dad, you're slow, man.
Oh.
So any lady, man, looking for a guy with a pension, man. We're here to get Pops.
Yeah, but I won't hook you up with this disability. Disability check. Because I can't qualify for that.
He's not disabled.
He's able.
But I'll get you in that lock.
Just a little piece. Oh, my God.
The secret side hand. Hell yeah, man. Thank you very much to Armando Cosillo, old friend of mine, man, from the first time we did comedy, man. There's a lot of stuff we could talk about, but we'll get to that stuff other time, man. We have a lot of shit, huh? A lot of history, huh, bro?
I mean, a lot of these stories we just touched on and then we moved on. I mean, I remember somebody actually met me one day and said, I finally got to meet the last guy in the car. Remember Z?
Z?
Yeah, she goes, I met Felipe, I met Gabriel, and I met Martin, but I had never met you, and you're in that story about the Hummer.
Oh, yeah.
That's a true story, man.
Hell yeah.
That's a true story, Felipe.
Fuck, came out of nowhere,
that,
huh?
That, man.
Yeah,
that man. Was that's how they funny. Do it, dog.
Oh, that was funny because the way you started messing with that cop, man, that saved his ass.
I know, because he was going so fast, and he opened up the, as soon as he opened up the door, I just looked at him like all stone to that cop, and I said, yeah, we were just testing out the tires.
He was just testing the tires off.
He laughed and then gave him, turned on the Bad Boys, Bad Boys.
Yeah, he goes, give me that CD, put on Bad Boys.
Yeah, so he laughed at that when he was going around. Everything, man, I can't believe we didn't get a ticket. We're going 90.
Officer, you know, we got pulled over in Tijuana, and they didn't have a computer. They had an Etch-a-Sketch.
Yeah. Yeah, man, they had a Rolodex with my name on it.
Yeah.
So what's up, fool? Rodrigo Torres, man. Let us out, bro. Give us an impersonation of Mondo or something and Pops.
Hey, man, get out of here, eh? Hey, man.
Yeah. What's up, fool? Laugh. Thanks to everybody here. Rodrigo Torres, co-host, Pops Jr., Armando Cosillo Jr., very funny guy. Check him out wherever he goes. Anybody looking for a clean comic to book, these guys are clean, man. They're the real deal, people.
Real deal.
And you got one of the guests, bring in Pops, man. You know, he'll talk to little kids, man, yeah. That, about anything, about head trauma. He's a good guy to hire to talk about kids that life does get better. Move on, motherfucker.
If life throws you lemon, you make lemonade or squeeze that shit.
Or if you get held by strippers, you go to the ATM machine.
You go to the ATM machine, man, and you give her the fake phone, man, the prepaid.
I just hope life doesn't throw you lettuce.
All right, fool. We're out of here, man. Oh, also, if you got any pest control, what'd they hit you up at, bro?
La Cucaracha Pest Control.
La Cucaracha Pest Control, man. La Cucaracha.
Look it up on Yelp.
Look it up on Yelp, man. They got a good review.
We got like 80 reviews.
80 reviews. All that lay.
A couple of them are bad, but that's Rodrigo's fault.
Hell no.
Yeah, man. Barry found me.
Just told me, man.
Real red.
Just told me, man.
All right, fool. Thank you to our producer, Lisa O'Daniel. Everybody else. All Things Comedy. Everybody.
Late.